sports history fans. I'm Ross from the podcast Pigskin Tales. You're about to jump into another thrilling sports history moment, but first, let's dive into today's sponsor, just in time for the holiday season. Introducing Art of Words, the brainchild of word artist Dan Duffy from Philadelphia. Dan meticulously crafts stunning images by handwriting relevant words from some of the greatest sports moments in time. These unique, budget-friendly illustrations are the perfect gift, sparking cherished memories and capturing hearts. Choose from city skylines, sports, history, and musicians to find a piece for everyone. And here's the exciting part. For that sports fanatic in your life, gift them a piece of their favorite team or player's history. Art of Words tells a compelling story. Explore collegiate stadiums, each meticulously crafted with every football victory etched into words. Or venture into baseball stadiums, handwritten with every player from the team's illustrious history. My favorite on the site is Bryce Harper 2021 MVP year. Because I'm a big stats guy, I think that's one of the coolest things ever. Check it out. Don't wait. Order a print today for yourself and your loved one this holiday season. Transform your wall into a gallery of captivating art and surprise your family and friends with a print of their own. Use code SHN15 at artofwords.com for a 15% discount on your order in November and December. Visit Art of Words, where words magically transform into stunning art, evoking cherished memories and touching the hearts of those who you care about. Again, use the code SHN15 for 15% off at artofwords.com.
The old adage of the higher you fly, the further you have to fall, really came through at the end of the 20th century in the NFC Championship game. And we'll talk about it and more in just a moment.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we want to welcome you once again and thank you for joining us for the football history headlines as we will look at the date of January 17th for birthdays on this day, as well as headlines that make this truly a great gridiron day. So let's start off with our headlines. January 17th, 1952. The 1952 NFL draft took place, and the top pick was Bill Wade from the University of Vanderbilt. The ProFootballReference.com website says that after the Los Angeles Rams drafted Wade with the first pick, there were two future Hall of Famers taken as the next two selections. At number two, the Dallas Texans took linebacker Les Richter, followed up by the Chicago Cardinals selecting receiver Ollie Mattson with the third overall pick. Other players destined for the Hall of Fame in this draft were Hugh McElhaney going to the 49ers at number 9 and Frank Gifford hooking up with the Giants at number 11. Other Hall of Famers came later. Gino Marchetti, Bobby Dillon, and Yale Larry were all draft picks of this famous 52 draft and have bronze busts in Canton. January 17, 1954, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, the NFL Eastern Conference doubled up the Western Conference 20-9 in the fourth annual NFL Pro Bowl game. The game's MVP was Chuck Bednarek, a linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles. Next, we'll go to January 17, 1960. The 10th NFL Pro Bowl was once again played at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. In this edition, the Western Conference pulled away from the Eastern Conference for a 38-21 final score. A pair of Baltimore Colts took home the MVP honors from the game, with defensive lineman Eugene Lipscomb and quarterback Johnny Unitas being selected for their fine play. January 17th, 1970, at the Astrodome in Houston, the ninth and final AFL All-Star game was played. The Western Division of the AFL dominated their Eastern rivals 26-3. This game's MVP was Los Angeles Charger quarterback John Hadle. On January 17, 1971, we had a championship game be played, and it was the Super Bowl in the Miami's Orange Bowl in Miami, Florida. Super Bowl V was a big one. There was also one of those games that kept the viewers on the edges of their seat right till the end. The Baltimore Colts and the Dallas Cowboys rose above the rest of the league to have the honor of battling for the Lombardi in this game. The game was knotted at 13 late in the fourth quarter. The Colts had the ball, but starting signal caller Johnny Unitas had been knocked out of the game earlier. A late push with backup quarterback Earl Morrill at the helm took the Colts deep into Dallas territory. The Blue Horseshoe kicker Jim O'Brien entered onto the field with 5 ticks of the clock remaining and booted the ball through the uprights. The Baltimore Colts beat the Dallas Cowboys 16-13 for the only time in Super Bowl history a member of the losing team won the MVP award. Chuck Halley, the linebacker of the Dallas, had little consolation in the trophy he took home compared to the large one that the Colts received for winning the game. January 17, 1977, at the Seattle Kingdom, the NFL Pro Bowl saw the Steelers' legendary cornerback Mel Blount take home the MVP award as the AFC defeated the NFC 24-14. January 17, 1988, we had a great game at Mile High Stadium in Denver, the AFC Championship game. The fans saw another familiar matchup for the era as Cleveland and Denver squared off to see who would travel to the Super Bowl. It all came down to the end of the fourth quarter once again. Cleveland was trailing by 5, but they were driving late on a very methodical and productive final push. Just when everything seemed to look as if the Browns were going to be able to punch their ticket, heartbreak occurred. The Browns' generally sure-handed running back, Ernest Biner, became separated from the ball at the Denver 3-yard line, and the Broncos recovered it with 1:12 remaining. The Denver Broncos held on to beat the Cleveland Browns 38-33 in a game that has gone down in history as the fumble. Now we're going to go through the OnThisDay.com scoreboard and talk about some great championship games of the conferences. January 17, 1988, RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. The nation's capital hosted the NFC Championship game, and the Washington Redskins defeated the Minnesota Vikings 17-10. January 17, 1993, at Joe Robey Stadium in Miami, at the AFC Championship game, the Buffalo Bills got past the Miami Dolphins 29-10 to advance. That same day, in Candlestick Park in San Francisco, the NFC Championship game resulted in the Dallas Cowboys knocking off the San Francisco 49ers 30-20. On January 17, 1995, the Los Angeles Rams announced to the world that they were moving to St. Louis. January 17, 1999, at Mile High Stadium in Denver, the AFC Championship game had the Denver Broncos defeating the New York Jets 23-10. Now for a big game, just January 17, 1999, at the Metrodome in Minneapolis, the Dirty Birds of Atlanta Falcons traveled to play the high-flying offense of the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game, according to the TwinCities.com website. The Vikings went 15-1 in the season, the best year in team history, and they were 11-point favorites in the championship game against the Atlanta Falcons at home. But this was not a game the Vikings fans want to remember. With 2:18 left in the game, Minnesota kicker Gary Anderson, who had not missed a field goal attempt or an extra point all season long, strolled on the field with his team up 27-20 to possibly put the game out of reach for the Falcons. To really put the game in perspective, this is a remarkable streak of 35 field goals and 59 extra points without a miss on the season. Truly remarkable. It was a sure thing, right? GA was going to come in and put the Vikes up by 10 with 2 minutes left at the two-minute warning. At the most inopportune time, probably in the history of football, the terrific season of Gary Anderson fell apart as he missed the kick. The Falcons had new life and drove the field to tie the game and send it into overtime. The Falcons were demoralized as the lead they had was 27-17 in the fourth quarter, and it slipped away. The Falcons, with momentum, eventually kicked the game winner in the extra session that sent them to the Super Bowl. the game has now been remembered as the Miss. The final score was the Atlanta Falcons 30, Minnesota Vikings 27. On January 17th, 2001, the NFL owners met in Dallas and voted to increase shared revenue across the league. The 32 teams agreed to pool the visiting team's share of the gate receipts for all games, regular season and preseason, and divide the pool equally starting in the 2002 season. According to a 2004 paper titled Revenue and Wealth Maximization in the National Football League, The Impact of Stadia, found on repository.usfca.org by Matthew Brown, Mark Nagel, Chad McAvoy, and Daniel Rosher, the revenue plan greatly aided in the construction of new stadiums and remodeling of old ones in the NFL. Some local governments had teamed up with the franchises to use the subsidies to aid in the construction costs shortly after the shared revenue plan was accepted, and NFL cities like Denver Broncos, Detroit Lions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Pittsburgh Steelers benefited by this measure. Other cities like Dallas, New York, and LA, and Las Vegas have built super stadiums that they have really revolutionized the game revenue. The Chicago's Soldier Field and Green Bay's Lambeau Field are examples of what the funding did to help major facelift renovations of older stadiums to bring them up to speed with the NFL's criteria of the 21st century for an NFL stadium. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines and let me remind you, you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier, and my show is called Yesterday Sports. My show mainly focuses on old school sports from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association and a sports historian. I have a podcast every other Tuesday, so come join us at the Sports History Network for a trip down memory lane.
Now we've got a couple of birthdays that are celebrated by Hall of Famers on this date. January 17th, 1933, Warrenton, Georgia, former University of Illinois halfback J.C. Caroline was born. The National Football Foundation selected J.C. Caroline to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989. And January 17th, 1937, Ponca City, Oklahoma, Buddy Dial, the legendary Rice University end, celebrated the day of his birth. Buddy Dial was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1993. Now, we want to thank you once again, you listeners from all over the world that are supporting and listening to the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. And we just want to make sure you know that our numbers are rising and we're doing our best to keep bringing you the football history. And we thank you for once again for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can go to pigskindispatch@gmail.com and send me an email, and I make sure that I respond back to you. You can also go on social media, Twitter, we are at Pigskin Dispatch, or go to our Facebook page, pigskindispatch.com, and check us out, as well as go to the website, pigskindispatch.com, and you can go to the your favorite podcast provider to listen. So hit the subscribe button on the podcast right player right now to know as soon as every release is done, or you can go to the Sports History Network to see this podcast and many other great podcasts from some really talented people that are out there that has some excellent guests and great topics to discuss about sports history. So make sure you check all those out as soon as you get a chance. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the Official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the Official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.